God sent forth His Son to be the Savior of the world, and He saves it because He shed His blood on the cross. Amen. Well, first of all, I want to say thanks to Pastor Abels for allowing me to be back in the pulpit again today. It's something I didn't anticipate. I don't think he did either. But anyway, we're supposed to have a mission morning. We're supposed to have a missions morning or mission day with Brother Sam Thomas, and he's not here, and so I'm a substitute. I'm a substitute today, and this is kind of a missions morning. An interesting thing, when the pastor called me and I got to thinking about what shall I preach on this day, and of course, missions is usually what I'm preaching. But anyhow, I got to thinking, and this is the last Sunday of September. The first Sunday of our missions year was which one, April the 1st? This is the last Sunday of the first 6 months. Am I correct in that? Come on. Yes, yes or no? Yes, okay. Well, at least I saw the calendar right. And the rest of you didn't know what, you don't know where, I don't think you even know whether it's September 27th or not. But anyway. But also very significant that on this day, the last Sunday of the first 6 months of our missions year, which started April the 1st, that we were to have a missionary speaker, and he's not here, and so I'm here today, but I'm glad I'm here. But also, I got the first thing I did when I came to the church this morning was pick up the bulletin to see how we're doing. You know what? All of you, I'm quite sure by now, you're well aware of the fact that our mission's goal, financial goal for this year, is what, 300,000? 300,000. And that's in the ballpark because for the last 7 years, we have gone over 700,000 for missions. And so when this year, because we were shut down, the pastor and the staff and deacons or whoever, they decided to come just level it off and let's set our goal at 300,000 and let God do what He will do. When I picked up the bulletin this morning, and we don't have today's offering, but I'm guessing today if our missions offering today is 5,000 or near 5,000, we will be exactly halfway. 145,000 plus has been given for the first 6 months, not counting today. So you add today's offering, and I would say we're right in the middle of it all. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. I think it's amazing. So anyhow, so now for those of you that don't know much about me, and the rest of you probably don't need to know any anymore. But I do have bad eyesight, and so if I, and the reason, I have my Bible, but I also have my Bible in print, large print, and I use that. And I also request of you today that when I give you a scripture to read, that you'll turn to it, because if I stumble, my eyes fail me, and I stumble over it, you'll be reading the scripture, okay? So just keep that in mind. Today, Lord willing, I want to bring you a message, or it's a review. I'm just going to review today. It's not a revival of missions, it's a review of missions of what we are and what we need to be. And I want to speak to you this morning, basically, if I give the sermon a title, it is on the essentials that are necessary in the ministry of the local church. Essentials that are necessary in the missions ministry of the church. So if you have your Bible, I'm going to have several passages of Scripture, but I want you to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 13. The book of Acts, chapter 13, and I want us to read that scripture, and then we're going to come back. Basically, what I'm going to be talking to you about this morning in review is, as I said, the title of the message is Essential. Essential. There are many essentials. I'm not going to give all of them. We had two great essentials in our Sunday school lesson this morning. Prayer is essential, and fasting is essential. Even though we don't do much of that, it is still essential. Fasting and praying is essential. But I'm talking today about the basic things in regard to missions. And so I have chosen four things out of many things concerning the essential necessities in the ministry of the missions of the local church. Those four are basically this. We need to have the gospel, the goers, the givers, and our goal. Now, if you want to put it in a different way, the mandate to the church, you have the message, you have the messengers, And then you have the rejoicing or the reward. The last thing, the reward. Okay, so that kind of gives us the format to what we're talking about. Now again, back to the word of introduction. When you talk about the word essential, it has a little bigger meaning than just important. Well, I use the word important often. In fact, I have a message I call the importance of missions in the local church. And it is important. But when it comes to the genuine, essential is even better. Because when you say it's important or very important, there might be something else that is equal to it. But when you say essential, there is no equal. There is no equal. The word essential basically means that there is nothing that can take the place of it. And so when we're talking about the essentials in missions, there are certain, you cannot please God without faith. First of all, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And without faith, you cannot have a strong missions program. It's a requirement of faith. We talk about that, might mention briefly, because we're reviewing. So essential. Now, when you think about essential in the physical, what you say there are some things that in the physical realm that are absolutely essential. What would be the one thing? In order to sustain physical life, what are some things? Well, we heard about the food this morning. Lord, give us this day our daily food, and that's essential. But there's something ahead of the food that is more essential. It's water. Nobody can survive without water very many days. And everything needs water. Plants need water. If you've noticed how dry it's been, I'm sure you have in our area. I mean, the grass is burned up, it's dried up. The trees, the leaves are falling off because they're dying because of drought. And everything needs, animals need water. Animals need water from cockroaches to camels. Everything needs water. Plants need water and human beings need water. You cannot survive without water. But then more, that's it in the physical realm. Of course, food is essential and so forth, even if it's broccoli. So mention the word broccoli. This little boy, about 9 years old, little Billy, 9 years old, had a terrible earache. So his mother took him to the ear doctor. And the doctor examined him and said, well, you've got an infection, I'm going to give you some biotics or antibiotics. So then the doctor said to the boy, I said, do you have any allergies or, oh, what's the other word? I'm losing my story. You have any, isn't that something? I'm going to tell a story, can't tell it. Well, anyhow, do you have any or is there anything you're allergic to? That was it. The doctor said, is there anything you're allergic to? And little Billy just kind of did like this to the doctor, and he whispered in his ear. And the doctor just smiled, didn't say nothing. Gave the prescription to the mother, and the mother went to the pharmacy, and the pharmacist filled out the prescription, and then he handed it to the mother, and he smiled at the boy. And so how you're supposed to take those pills to take care of your earache, he had a little note, put a warning. Here's a warning. Do not serve this with broccoli. Well, broccoli may be important, but it's not necessarily essential. But there are essential things. So we're talking about missions. So if you have your Bible, I want you to turn first of all to the book of Acts, chapter 13. Chapter 13, and let's read together the first five verses. Chapter 13 of Acts. Now there were in the church, but that's the mandate. The mandate is to the church. Mission, by the way, is to the church. Not to the college, not to the club, not to the county seat, and certainly not to the government. Now there were in the church, in Antioch, certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, and Niger and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, as a minister to the Lord. By the way, I saw something in this passage this week when I was looking at it, reviewing my own mind and thoughts, that The first one that's mentioned of certain teachers and prophets, the first one mentioned there was Barnabas. The last one mentioned is Saul, which became Paul. Now, when you go on down to the next verse, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, that's what our Sunday school has. As they fasted and ministered to the Lord, the Holy Ghost said, and that's also an essential. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And by the way, when we're not witnessing, there's something wrong with our power. We got the power shut off. Or packed away. Now that's power. The Holy Spirit is essential. So now, but to go on, he said, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. So he had Barnabas and Saul here, listen, together. And they said, for the work whereunto I have called them. And by the way, the Lord's work is work. And he said in verse number 3, and they, as they went, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Now, if you'll catch the two things in that verse of Scripture, you have the goers, you have the senders, the givers. You have the sent and the senders. You need both. That's essential. When we're talking about missions, and that's what we're talking about this morning, essentials and missions. When you have essentials, you have to have, of course, the mandate, which is the church, and that's you. And on those that are not able to be here this morning out there in Wonderland somewhere and tuned in, and God bless you. I hope you're listening, and then we'll respond. But anyhow, and I know the preacher's watching and listening. He said, oh, me, I'm praying. Verse number 4, so when they had laid hands on them, they, the church, had laid hands on them, Paul and Barnabas, they sent them on their way. And verse number 4 said, as they were being sent forth, the Holy Ghost said, departed to Cilicia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Verse 5, and when they had come to Salamis, they preached the word of God to them. Essential. In the synagogues and the Jews, and they had John also to their minister. So that just gives you kind of a foundational scripture that I want us to consider today concerning what is essential. So let me come back to it. What is essential? Number one, I want to just mention to you that in the mandate is the gospel. You cannot, there is no substitute for the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is an essential. It is an absolute. Now the gospel, I think probably most everyone in this room knows what is the gospel. And the gospel is the crowning point of the entire Word of God. The whole Bible is about Jesus Christ and His coming and His death, burial, and resurrection. And that is the gospel. The death that Jesus came to this world, and we'll not elaborate upon it, but when He came to be the Savior of the world. And he was crucified, buried, and rose again. That, I say to you, beloved, that is essential. The gospel is essential. Missions ministry cannot be missions ministry without the gospel. And the gospel is saturated throughout the New Testament. It's portrayed in the Old Testament, and it's explained in the New Testament. See, Mark, even in Mark chapter 1, Mark, when he wrote the gospel of Mark, who was also later a companion, had been a companion with Paul, as was Luke. So anyway, read the four Gospels. Two of them were companions with the Apostle Paul. But anyway, Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1 says, the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In Matthew, by the way, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, this Gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness among all people, then the end will come. We're getting close to the end, I think, with everything happening. So the gospel, then you have in Matthew's gospel, in Matthew, in the resurrection of the message, the mandate which Jesus Christ, the resurrected Savior, gave then to His church. And these five times in the four gospels and Acts, you have, of course, the Lord's final word. And I say to you, beloved, today that the resurrected Savior, when He gathered His disciples, His church together, and got them ready for the day of Pentecost. They were already organized, but the day of Pentecost was coming. He gave to them what we call the Great Commission. It is the Great Commission because it was great in its source, it's great in its scope, and it's great in its subject. But the Great Commission was the last word. The last word that Jesus said in Matthew Gospel, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always." That's your verse. That you know, don't you? So I'm saying to you, the last words of the Lord Jesus Christ is a command that we must give attention to. The Lord's commission is not the Lord's great commission is not a choice. It is a command. Missions is not a maybe. It is a must. You cannot be a true New Testament church without being doing what you've been doing and doing faithfully. So I'm not straightening you out. I'm just reminding you and reviewing with you what you have been doing, exactly what God commanded us to do. That we are to teach. That word teach means to evangelize. Now, a church that's not evangelizing will soon be a mission field. That's the very first thing Jesus said there. Go ye therefore and teach or evangelize all nations. And then he said to baptize them. That means to identify them or to mark them. You make disciples, then you mark disciples. And then he said teaching them to observe all things. That's maturing them. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have the whole counsel of the Word of God. We don't preach on Matthew chapter 28 every week. But the whole Word of God then is all centered around reaches to the gospel. How to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior. How to live right. How to do right. How to serve right. How your stewardship, yourself, all of it is geared to us. But it all centered around what God commanded us as a church to do. Evangelize. And baptize. And then mature. So that is. So, but going on with the gospel, that was in Matthew and Mark, and in Luke's gospel, chapter 24, verse 47 to 40, or verse 44 to 47, 48, he had told them that repentance or remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. So that's the message that we're preaching. The message of the gospel is, of course, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll see. But it's also that the message of it is that repentance for the remission of sin shall be preached. That is the message. That is the message of the church. If you don't repent, you better check up. Have you believed? Repentance is part of it. People say, "Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ." Have you repented? So repentance, that's part of the message that we preach. Then you continue on. Then you just pass on. John, in John chapter 20 and 21, he says there to his final word, the Lord's final word to his disciples, he said, "As the Father sent me, even so send I you." We're to the regions that are beyond. He says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world." That is missions. That's the Great Commission. Witnesses to the end of the world. And then you have that first message in the second chapter of Acts when Peter stood on the day of Pentecost and he preached. When he got down to verse 38, he said, "Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Be baptized and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." Now the baptism there doesn't mean he's going to get saved because of it, but that's an obedience to it immediately. So then you go right on. And you come to the Apostle Paul, and Paul and Barnabas were saved. When Paul got saved, he was chosen by God to be the messenger for the Lord, and the Apostle Paul became, all the way through the rest of the epistles, 13 of them or 14 that the Apostle Paul wrote under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they were given, and he's always emphasizing the gospel. 6,200, the word gospel, which you already know, it means good news, it means... But thank God there is some good news, and it's the gospel. But Paul, some 100 times, the word gospel is mentioned in the scripture. 60 times by the Apostle Paul. So that means that it's very vital and very important. Amen? "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing," and so forth. Now, so when the Apostle Paul, all the way through, you take his message here to Romans, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 1, it says there, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle." I like that because the Apostle Paul did not set him up as some highly guru. That's right. He did not set himself up as a pope or some other politician or something else. He said, I am a servant, a bond slave of Jesus Christ. And all of us who name the name of Jesus Christ, that should be our thought. That I am saved to serve. I am saved to serve. I am a servant of Jesus Christ. So the Apostle Paul said, I am a bond slave, or I am a servant. But then he said more. He said, I'm separated unto the gospel of Jesus Christ. When I say upon the Apostle Paul said, I am separated unto the gospel, he was talking about this is the most important thing in my life, is that I am able to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel. Paul believed in the gospel. He believed in the purity of the gospel. He believed in the power of the gospel. He believed in the preservation of the gospel, the preciousness of the gospel, because it is the gospel that by which if we hear and believe, we will be saved. We can be saved. So the Apostle Paul, he says, he was saturated. He was saturated with the gospel. He said in 1 Corinthians to the church, woe is me if I preach not the gospel of Jesus Christ. He also said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, or 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and then verse number 3, or chapter 2, verse 3, chapter 4, verse number 3, he said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now I say to you, beloved, today, that is probably one of the greatest hindrances in most of our churches. We have the gospel. We can say amen to the gospel. I believe the gospel. I am saturated with the gospel. But if we are not telling the gospel, if it's hid in our church building, if it's hid in our heart, hid in our home, if it doesn't get out, people are going to still die and go to hell. So we need to be mindful of the gospel. So not only do you have the mandate, not only do you have the message, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but then as we read there in the book of Acts chapter 13, and we'll not dwell long upon it, only to say this, that the church is a sending agency. When the church gathered together and the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Saul or Barnabas and Saul, who became Paul, for the work whereunto I have called them. What work? To go preach the gospel. To go win souls, to establish churches, which is what they went out to do. When they went out to establish the churches, then they were taught. And then they were taught to carry on the work. So you have in that passage of scripture which we read to you, Acts chapter 13, you have there, and I'm reviewing with you, you have there basically the goers and the givers. So as they said there, and when they had laid hands on them, they, the church, sent to them, Paul and Barnabas, they sent them the missionary. The church sent the missionary, partnership. And when they had that partnership together, they laid hands on them and they sent them forth. So you have there the sent and the sender. Now, you are to be commended for how you do respond to that part. You have over, I think, around 100 missionaries that you do help to support. And by the way, if you haven't picked up these prayer booklets, that have been made available, volume 2, 3, and 4 so far, maybe you got the fifth one out, I don't know, Brother Harris, but anyhow, this booklet, the prayer letter has been coming for a long time. But when you added this page here, this page over on the side, here you have the page with the bio, and then you have the letter. That is absolutely, I don't know where that came from, Brother Abels, I think he said put it together. So somewhere, the Lord laid on his heart, he found it somewhere, and put it, that is excellent. I like facts and figures, and I like country and so forth, so geography, so it just hit my button real good. But anyhow, so again, as I was working on this, we have the mandate, we have the message, we have the messengers, and then we have the method or the miracle. You have the miracle. The miracle is when you have sent the missionaries, supplied for them to support, and they go and do a work, and you get the results. So that brings me to the fourth and last goal. You have the gospel, which is through the church. You have the goers, which are the missionaries, and you have, if you have prayer booklets, you'll find in there bios for probably, if you get all of them, you'll have 100 or thereabouts. That's the goers. And then you have the givers. And when I gave you the report this morning, and you probably, if you looked at your bulletin, if you've received one, it may not have hit your brain like it did mine in particular, because I was looking for it. But when I saw 6 months, 150,000 would be half of 300, and we're right on it. I don't know if we got to count for today's missions offering, which averages every Sunday right 5,000 to 7,000. If we got to 5,000, there we'll be just halfway. Amen. To me, that's fantastic. I think that only God could do that.
Yes, sir.
In the midst of all that's going on, we're continuing on to do what God asked us to do. You are to be commended for the fact that in spite of virus and in spite of vandalism, in spite of violence and all the corruption and everything that goes on and all the confusion that's going on in our world at the present time and in our nation in particular, thank God that we are focusing still on God.
Amen.
On my trust, as the songs were sung today, our trust is in God, not in man. Our trust is in God to supply our needs, not in stimulus or treasures. God is able. And he has been doing it. It's quite obvious. I think this has to be a day of rejoicing. Just a day to say, thank you, Lord, that in spite of all the confusion, we're not depending upon the government, we're depending upon God. And it is God, not government. God is not confused. God knows what's going on. We may not know what's going on, and we may, but there's a tendency, and one reason I wanted to review is God laid upon my heart to do this, I think, as I pray and ask, was that we have to be careful that with all the news and all the violence and all the virus and vandalism, everything goes on, that we don't forget that I'm a child of the King.
Amen.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
Amen.
And when what's going to happen is going to happen.
Amen.
You and I can do the right thing, vote the right thing, and vote the conviction of our heart. I believe that's what we ought to do. But I'm saying when the bottom line is hit, God help us to realize that I am citizen of heaven, and whatever happens here on this earth, this is then. So that brings me to this point at last. Our goal. Why do we give missions like we give missions? Why do we have prayer booklets like we have now with the new bio over there, which is so excellent? Why do we have that? That will keep our focus on the essentials of missions. And when you get in this one volume, I was so glad I went through the volumes because I'd read them and I hadn't remembered. But then I've read them as I've gone along. You say, how can you read? You can't say, I have a machine that has a laptop like this, and I can put this on here and I can make the words that big, so I can read them. I can read my Bible the same way.
Amen.
And of course, I also have a reading machine. But anyhow, I looked in there. I wonder if there's a letter in there from Sam Thomas. Sam was to be here today and to give a report. Well, he is not here. He will be here. And you can look forward to it. But I'm telling you, the investment that this congregation has made in the life of Sam and Bessie Thomas and their family and Paul, his brother, and that ministry in South India, Kerala State, down where they live in Chattanooga, right on the very southern tip of India. And when you read, even in the bio, the bio itself is exciting. When Sam gave his testimony, how that his father, of course, had come to the United States in 1965 or 4 and went to Baptist Bible College and graduated from there and went back to India in 1968. It's an interesting thing about the story of Sam Thomas's dad, K.C. Thomas. He was in Bible College here in Springfield. He could not get a job outside. He was supported by working on the buildings and so forth on campus. And when he got done with school, he had an uncle only was his dad's brother, his mother's brother, or whatever, but he had an uncle in San Francisco, California, and notified Casey Thomas that if you come out here to California, we'll open up a restaurant, and said, in a little while, you'll be rich. But Casey Thomas said, No, I didn't come to Bible school to stay in America and get rich. I'm going back to my own people. And that he did. Then his son, Sam, who was supposed to have been in this pulpit this morning, Sam came to Baptist Bible College here in Springfield in 1987 or 86, 86 or 87, and went to Bible College. He was part of Seminole Church at that point. He was still part of Seminole Church, I think, while he was in school. But anyhow, he had also, the bio says, Sam said, I was saved when I was 8 years old. When I was 12 years old, I felt a burden to become a missionary or a preacher and pastor to my own people here in India. He said, I was reading in Romans, the first chapter, in verse 13 to 16. He said, I am debtor, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you there at Rome also. And then he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation of everyone that believes. And Sam said, God spoke to my heart and said, I am to be a debtor. I'm a debtor. I've been saved. I've been redeemed. And by the grace of God, I need to be. I am a debtor to those that surround me. And that's what he has done. Amen. And his father passed away, and Paul, Sam and his brother Paul, they carried on the ministry. And today, over 150 congregations. Amen. Over 150 congregations. All been taught and trained in the Bible Institutes that Casey Thomas, Sam Thomas now, and Paul have there. Then when you read this last letter, which I guess it's the last one, it's June, July, or thereabouts. But anyhow, he talks about he's stranded here in the States, supposed to go back, but virus shut the airlines down, and he's here in the States. But he's not just sitting on his duff up here in Stillwater, Oklahoma, in Brother Hardy's church. He is, every day he's online, and he's teaching his nationals there in India. He spends 6 days a week teaching. They have new institutes, and they have the senior students and others who have graduated who are teaching. The students, they have 25. It's in another state. What am I saying is that the ministry, it just is one missionary and one little church over there. Now, that's not, if that's the way it is, that's not bad. You have countries where if a missionary goes there and if he gets one church started in a lifetime, he does well. But in India, it's in India. Even though there's persecution in Hinduism now and Mohammedism or Muslims, they're putting more and more and more pressure. Even some of Sam Thomas's churches have been burned in the recent years. They've been shut down because of persecution. They quit? No, they just go a little bit more. And God just gives them some more and gives them some more. I'm saying, beloved, that is what it's all about. That's why we are involved in mission like we should. Our mandate is through the church. Our message is the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation, all that believe. Our method is preaching. Our goers are sent, and the goers are to establish churches, and that's what they're doing. And then the goal, there's everyone. When you talk about 150 churches, you've been supporting Sam Thomas and that ministry for these many years, let alone all the other 100 missionaries, one day we're going to stand in the presence of the Lord. We won't be going up there with our silver and bonds and stocks and so forth. Now, don't misunderstand. He that provided for not his own is worse than an infidel. You prepare for retirement if there's going to be one. You do what you have to do by the grace of God to take care of your family and take care of your needs and all of that. We're not talking about you're giving to missions above your tithe, by the way. I didn't mention. You know that, of course. I think all of you do. If you're a younger generation, learn to tithe, and you'll always have a tithe to give and then give to missions, and you'll have treasures in heaven. That's what it's all about. Laying up treasures in heaven where moths steal and so forth won't corrupt or steal. That's a hallelujah for a child of God. That's an encouragement for us to recognize the essentials. The essentials of faith, the essentials of prayer, the essentials of the power of the Spirit of God, the essential of giving, and the essential of sending those that will go. And that's what we need to have more of today. We need more today who dare to say, Lord, here am I. Send me. There's always room for those that have not that are not giving. Don't lose out on the blessing. If you're a child of God, if you're a member of the church, first of all, you want God to bless, don't forget your tithe, the tithe that belongs to the Lord in your church. But then by faith, above my tithe, above your tithe, let there be an investment in the souls of those that will hear the gospel, the water of life, some foreign place somewhere in the world. And when you have a world of 8 billion people, nearly 8 billion people, and only possibly 2% born again, there may be more. What the challenge to the church, let's not slow down or sit down. Let's rise up and keep at it until Jesus comes.
Amen.
Now that being said, let me say, are you here today? You say, you're talking all this stuff, you're talking about going and giving money and this and that and the other thing. Yeah, it may not mean, except I say this, the Spirit of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
And whosoever will may come.
Yes.
Whosoever will may come. I was telling Brother Moeller this morning, where'd Brother Moeller go? Oh, here he is. I was telling Brother Moeller this morning, when I finished my breakfast, I was sitting down in the chair, just drinking a cup of coffee, just sitting there quietly thinking about the day. An old song came into my mind about whosoever will may come. Whosoever heareth may come. And I was sitting there, and I don't remember the words because I don't remember nothing. I don't hardly remember my own name. And I'm sitting there, never, so just mulling in my thought, whosoever will, whosoever will, that included me. One day that included me and that included you if you're saved today. That ought to be a hallelujah to our soul. I'm saved and I know it and I know where I'm headed. And it's not to the hot place. It's to the heavenly place. God's prepared for them that know him and love him. Are you here today and you say, I'm not sure about going, I'm ready for heaven. You can get ready. If you step out of your seat, we're going to sing a song. Brother Moses is going to come lead us on a song. We're going to stand and we're going to sing a song. And you can come and one of us will take a Bible, kneel at the old-fashioned altar, and show you what it is and how it is to become a child of the King. To be born again, to be saved, to be ready. If you're not ready, today is the day. Whosoever will can come. Whosoever will may come. And I'll tell you what, there's thousands out there that do not have any gospel at all. No Sunday school, they're not attending Sunday school. Oh my, how we need to be witnesses. Let's not just be inverted, let's be outgoing. That's part of our mission. Evangelize. Let's stand together, please. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed in prayer, and since we don't have our mask on, maybe not to sing, but Brother Moeller will be singing a song, or Brother Williams. Okay, I'm sorry. I should have known that that's your job over there, Brother Williams. Brother Williams will lead us in a song, word of prayer, and we'll have a song. If you need to come, maybe some of you have kind of backslid on your missions. Maybe it's lost as an essential part in your life. It may not be super important. Maybe you just need to come and say, Lord, increase my faith. Help me. Help me to keep going, keep everything going. 100 missionaries that need our prayers and need our support. But we need to, and for our own good. You need a revival in your heart regarding this is essential in our Christian life, missions. Father, we thank you again for the morning, for the day. And I pray, Lord, your blessings be upon every person here in the house of God and for the multitude of those that are not sitting in the pews but sitting in their chairs at home in front of their whatever, they're getting streamed in. I pray, Lord, that their souls might also be blessed and challenged. And then there may be some out there out in yonder ways listening, and they're not saved. Father, may they just be convicted by the Holy Spirit, led even to kneel down by their chair, by their couch, and ask the Lord to come into their heart. We thank you, Lord, that whosoever will may come, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Your name be magnified and glorified, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Williams, lead us in a song, please.
Whosoever heareth, shout the sound, spread the blessed tiding all the world around. Tell the joyful news wherever man is found, whosoever will may come, whosoever will, whosoever will, send proclamation over vale and hill. 'Tis a loving Father calls the wanderer home. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever cometh need not delay. Now the door is open. Enter while you may. Jesus is the true, the only living way. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will, send the proclamation over vale and hill. 'Tis a loving Father calls the wanderer home. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, the promise is secure. Whosoever will, forever must endure.